Thank you very much for being here. Just to give a few short informations, I will tell a little bit about my life, how it evolved, how it came to the point where I met you, a little bit also what happened afterwards. And when I finish with that, it's open that everybody who wants can ask me questions, whatever you want about Giyu, about my life. If I don't want to answer, I will tell you, but you can ask whatever you want. My name is David Rubli. Was Fabian Rubli. I changed my name. And I had made Giyu about 5 years ago. I'm born in Switzerland, like two other guys here in the room. And I grew up there. My parents and my grandparents were Christians, so I grew up as a Christian. In my teenager years, I started to be a leader in a religious Boy Scout. And by the age of 20, I was a leader of over 100 leaders and 300 children. And because it was not just a Boy Scout, because it was a religious Boy Scout, it had also a tremendous amount of responsibility in religious matters. Meaning, I teach the leaders and the children about Christianity. Slowly, I grew uncomfortable with what I was teaching them. At that point, I had already read several times the Bible. Not as many others in Christianity. And I couldn't see anymore the connection between the Torah and what the Christians call the New Testament. And it started to bother me very much. I started to ask my leaders, my superiors, questions, because I started to want to understand what's going on here, what's the problem, why don't I feel comfortable with what I believe in. They couldn't explain it to me. That was very, very difficult for me to go to somebody I thought he will know something more than I, and he couldn't answer me. In the same time, my mother started to make research about our family. Genealogy? How do you call it? Genealogy. And she went to plenty of archives and searched about the ancestors. And she wasn't thinking about anything Jewish. She just was interested in this thing. And slowly she came in contact with Jewish family members. Not clearly visible, but names started to appear Jewish. Through that she came in contact with the Jewish community in Zurich. And she heard for herself, without us letting us know, the family realized that that's what she searched. And here and there she started to drop books about Judaism in the house. I was very angry about these things because at that point I didn't see the connection to what would happen later. By the way, I have another brother and another sister to my parents who also made Giyu with me. I started to read these books that my mother dropped here and there in the house. And some of them I didn't understand, some of them made me even more angry, and some started to answer the questions I had. In the same time, we also started to travel to Israel. Almost every year we went to make holidays here, because that was always in our heart. We loved Israel, and it was actually a dream to go here. gave us a deep connection from the mother. We started not only me, also the rest of the family, my sister, my brother, my parents. We started to learn about Judaism. It gave us a deep connection, much deeper than just reading a book, to come here and to see the things we're reading about. We started to abandon where we came from. We didn't went anymore to church. We didn't anymore celebrate Easter or we call this thing in December with the tree, Christmas. Not just because, not for no reason, we also started to realize what Christianity really is. We started to go to the foundations of Judaism to learn about it, and we realized that Christianity is built upon many, many different cults and deities, and it's a whole mix of. Went there in great depth, and we started to realize that these holidays were actually Jewish holidays that were rendered to Christianity in a way that they don't look Jewish anymore. So we stopped doing that, went away from the church, but somehow there was a kind of an empty feeling. Not because we left something we didn't like, or we knew that's not the truth, or it was wrong for us. Because we felt that there is something, there is a truth out. And although we know it, we're not connected really to it. I also have to say that these are my personal feelings. I cannot say that from each family member these are the same feelings. Each of us made a little bit a different way. That aspect, but in general, we made the way together.
A whole family.
Yeah, the whole family.
Your parents and your siblings.
Mm-hmm. We drew closer and closer to Judaism. We went to activities in different Jewish communities. We started to know people from the community. We got invitations. And in the end, we decided as a family that we want to start serious. We want to not only be around the community, we want to be in the community. We want to start to learn to be Jewish. Why did I decide that? I started to think, what I'm going to do in this world that you all know very well. I know the truth that Hashem built this world, that He has His people who He guides through the Torah. And I'm going to live a life without that. I'm going exactly maybe to do opposite what He wants. Or should I live a life with knowing the truth, but I can't attach myself anywhere? Where do I send my children to school if I'm getting married, and who should I marry? So in the end, I decided I want to live the life as a Jew, if it's possible, if I'm getting accepted, because it's not a free ticket to be Jewish. You have to earn it when you're not Jewish. And so we went to a Rav in Zurich and told him that we would like to make a conversion process. And he accepted us and gave us somebody to learn. We learned for 1 year. And after that year, we were ready to make a Gevurah. Doesn't mean when you learn 1 year Judaism, 2 or 3 hours a week, that you're ready completely for Jewish life. You have always to learn. Even if you grew up from your home as Jew, then you have always something to learn. But you're ready to make a step to say, yes, I want to live a Jewish life. Because you know more or less in what direction it's going. Kashrut, family purity and all these things. So, some people need more than 1 year. There are people who are much longer than 1 year. And after we made Giro, also my parents remarried because they had to marry Jewish. And slowly, slowly, all of us went to Israel. First my father, then I. First my sister, my brother, and then I. My parents came Bezrat Hashem this summer. And today I'm married, I have two children. My sister is married and has two children. And my brother is married. Bezrat Hashem will have a child soon. And we're building a big Jewish family. That's the story in short. There is maybe to say about what I just said a few minutes ago. I could also live a life as a Noachid if I'm not Jewish. Maybe some of you heard that. Because Hashem gives laws not only for Jews, He is also giving laws for Noachites, meaning all the other people in the world. But there is not, especially not in Europe, a big community. In America, I hear there is a community for Noachites. So there it would be possible to live such a life. But now there is a second component. My mother found Jewish roots in our family, on both sides, father and mother. But they're broken, we don't have a direct line. We're not halachically Jewish, we know that today. I mean, after the Giyur, yes, but not from our ancestors. So there is a saying that whoever makes Giyur, some of you maybe learned it already, was already standing on Har Sinai. That means that only the Jews who went in the desert, traveling from Mitzrayim to Eretz Knaam, also the Gentiles, for example, who accepted the Torah when Hashem asked them, were standing on Har Sinai. And these people are people who are making Giyur. They're also probably people making Giyur who are Jewish, but their halachic continuation got somehow lost, even if they're really Jewish. I would do it again if some of you asked yourself already that question. It's very, very hard to abandon your life that you have, that you find normal. You lose all your friends, you give up most of your money because you have to change the kitchen, you have to live in a city where you can go to a synagogue. It's not simple. It's very hard. You have to learn a new language that you never thought about learning. And in our case, we also lost the rest of the family because they couldn't deal with the fact that we're today Jewish. We're like the black sheep, that they're not talking to them and they're even doing more bad things. And even though I would do it again, because the decision I made in the beginning when I made Giyur was about a truth I found. Sure that this is the right thing. I knew even all the hardships that will come in my life about this specific issue will not be hard enough because Torah gives me so much answers to my life, so much help to my life, that it's everything else is less worth. And especially because I could choose it. I appreciate it even more. I know for you guys it's not a choice because you're all born Jewish. You're born into a Jewish family. And there is no such thing like a choice. But Now, for me, it's also not a choice anymore. But I had the moment where I could decide, and I'm happy that I made this decision. I think I end here with what I have to say. And I think we make an open round. Everybody can ask me whatever he wants.
Yeah, I have a question. Like, Christians, they don't believe in the Old Testament, as in the Old Testament, the Bible, in the Torah.
Do? That's a very good question.
Because if you say that the Torah gives you a lot of answers, so you knew this book already. So.
Very good. Did everybody understand the question? You all learn here about the Torah with commentaries from our rabbis, from our Gedolim. The Christians don't have that. They do not understand the Torah. Meaning, when they read the Torah, they think they're clever enough to understand it by themselves, without somebody helping them. And that's very dangerous. You can't make... We got the oral Torah, we got the tradition from Moshe from Har Sinai, how we have to interpret the Torah. And we can't do it just by ourselves if we don't know that. And even though it's the Torah, by the way, also with a lot of translation mistakes, it's not possible to see alone from that what's really going on. But what happened to me was that when I had reading the Torah and reading the so-called New Testament, I saw a lot of failures between them. I didn't see the things that connect to each other, I saw the things that go apart from each other. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I read also a book from a rabbi exactly about that, and he showed all the differences between the Christian and Judaism. And that made me, that was the final way why I decided to make a gift. Did I answer more or less the question?
You talked about that it wasn't accepted in your family, the whole process of getting Jewish. But in the Jewish community, it got accepted well. Like, was it? How was the acceptance in the Jewish community? Did you feel as a stranger in the beginning or not?
I had many different reactions. I had reactions from people who were very nice to me, very warm to me, helped me, to people who could not understand how I can do such a thing, what I'm searching in the community. I mean, it was not only one community, there were different communities, but there was everything. There was from helping to misleading me or not, or telling me what I was searching for. But in my case, or in the case of my family, because we came from a place where, also so-called religious place, we knew this kind of behavior, and that didn't repel us. We went there where people were nice to us and liked us and helped us. That wasn't really a big issue, although in the beginning, when we were a little bit naive, we thought everything is nice and good. We were shocked from this kind of behavior, but that was something minor. We went to people who helped us and liked the moment.
Yeah, what I didn't really get was if you were the initiator, or like, because the whole family did the Giyum. Like, you came with the idea, or your mother did, okay, we do it now, or...
My mother was the initiator, but a very quiet initiator. She didn't say, let's do that now. She just started to do things. She went to meet a Jewish friend, a very honorable woman in Zurich, without telling us, she started to speak a little bit about these things. She showed us what she found in her research about ancestors. She dropped here and there a book. That's the way how she did it, very soft.
Like she knew that you have these questions, and it was not like independently you came.
Yes. And it wasn't only me, it was also my sister and my brother, and obviously my father. Just showed you the view from my side. You know, that's why I said everybody was a little bit different. And everybody had his own thoughts why he decided to do it in there. But it was in the same time.
As a religious leader in your community before, did you take like a group of people with you? Were there, you said that you were responsible for hundreds and like 400, and they were again responsible for hundreds, and Manhig, as a leader, did you convince somehow, or did it make people to think about it as well and to make it you, or was it you?
Very interesting question. I didn't do that. I didn't do that on purpose. First of all, I was, to the people I was responsible for, I was quiet about my thoughts, what's going on with me. Because I couldn't afford to trouble other people with something that I don't understand. And second, I knew that the people above me were, who I was under their leadership, they will be very troubled when they hear what thoughts I have. And that really happened. They got crazy. They couldn't understand me, and they almost banished me from the community. Because I had such a big influence. But because I was quiet on purpose, and I also left before they really took actions, nobody really realized from the people I had to take care of, children and leaders, what's going on. I didn't tell them anything, and I didn't make a bang when I left. I just said, okay, I was 2 years now here and 3 years for this responsible, now it's time that somebody else is coming, and I left quietly for these people. For the people who were above me, they knew why I leave, and they probably were happy that I'm going. Because I was a thorn in their flesh. But it was very important that I'm not doing that. Because we're not proselytizing. We're not going out to the world and telling them that you have to be Jewish or something like that. It's very important because you might hear that already. The Jewish nation is a chosen people. Hashem chose us. Although maybe it's difficult to understand how somebody who's making Giyur is also a chosen person, I think that goes in very deep concepts that I can't explain and that don't understand. But Hashem knows who belongs to the Jewish nation, and we're not supposed to take the whole world into Jewishness. As you may know, that when the Mashiach is coming, everybody goes a level up. We Jews, we're supposed to be Kohanim, like the Kohanim today. I don't know exactly if it will be the same. And the Gentiles are supposed to be like Jews. Everybody's going to level up. And when Mashiach is coming, also there will be no Giyurim anymore. So that shows us very clearly that there is a concept, that there are differences. We're supposed to be Gentiles, we're supposed to be Jews, they're supposed to be Kohanim. Therefore, it's not necessary to make proselytizing. Is that okay?
Can I ask a question? Whilst other people are thinking of the question, there a difference between the guru living in a Jewish community in Israel or in Chutz La'aretz? You see, I know that the process is different in Israel and Chutz La'aretz.
You mean during the guru process or afterwards?
Both during the process and also afterwards. I know that in Israel there's a matnetiv, shemata netiv batzava.
In general terms, yes, there is a huge difference.
There is a huge difference.
On one side and the other side not, because I mean there are all sorts of ways how to you can make a giur here in Eretz Yisrael, maybe less in Chutz La'aretz, that's why it's a huge difference. And I know also other sorts of girim. I know girim, you know, different types of to make a giur. There are people who are making giur because of love of Hashem. There are people who are making giur because they're attracted to the lifestyle. And there are people who make giur because they don't have another choice, otherwise they can't make a living. Today, most people make probably giur out of love for Hashem, and there's maybe another big group who's making out of the lifestyle. Barely somebody's making it for panasa today. Should I go a little bit further in this topic? Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
More? To say more about it?
Why would somebody for making money?
Let's say you're living in a country where you can barely make it with your family because you don't have a salary or whatever, and you need to flee somewhere and you land probably maybe in Israel, or you land in a city where the Jews are the majority, but you also don't have somehow possibility to earn really living because they don't maybe want to use your service as a non-Jew. So somebody might think, I make better gear out of necessity that I get panasa, that I can earn some kind of money. Without thinking that he wants to be Jewish because of the lifestyle, because he wants to be Jewish because he for himself found truth for his life, just out of surviving moment. I don't think it's very common today. And that of the lifestyle is understandable. Back to your question, huh?
About Israel and Chutz La'aretz.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between the community of a Ger in Israel, or is there a difference between a Ger in Israel or a Ger in Israel?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you've had both.
I think I'm mainly made in Switzerland. I think to make a giur in Chutz La'aretz can help because you're focusing yourself on the community. Because you're in the community and all around are Gentiles, so you can't allow yourself to... Don't allow yourself distraction. There's no use for it, because if you want to make a giur, then you're focusing on the Jews or living there. You want to make giur.
You like defining yourself in Chutz La'aretz. It's more of a definite. Is that what you're saying? Because the Jewish community is a much more defined entity in
Chutz La'aretz. Exactly.
So I'm like defining. I'm giving myself a stronger identity there.
That's exactly.
I'm not.
Yeah. When you're here in the country, then you have. Most often, I see people much more defining about: are you Dati Lumi? Are you Haredi? Are you ba-ba-ba? And that's not the issue. When you make giur, you're making giur because you want to be a Jew, not because you want to be Ashkenazi, Sephardi, or whatever. No use. I mean, when I make giur, I could choose what I am. I could be either Ashkenazi, Sephardi, or whatever. There is more to choose. And probably some of you also can choose, although you didn't make you. There's other reasons. I find it better to make you and Chutz La'aretz because of this focus. Because you don't make a difference between this Jew and that Jew, you're much more focused. Of course, there are also in Chutz La'aretz different communities. And in the end, anybody chooses what he wants. If he wants to be a Hasid, if he wants to be Sephardi or Ashkenazi or whatever. Anyway, everybody's choosing that by himself. I know a lot of Gerim that I'm close to that started this way and then the other way, or started the other way and then this way. Because after a year or two, they realize they're feeling more attached to Hasidut, or they're feeling more attached to be Haredi, or more attached to be Dati Leumi. When you're here in the country, you're making that, you have to be much stronger to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. There are different groups and different directions. And to understand that we're not dividing, that we just have different colors, that's not so easy to understand. Mm-hmm. It's for many people very difficult.
Was there a possibility for a non-religious Jewish, non-religious Jewish life?
What's that?
That you make a cure, you get Jewish, but you don't keep. You keep, but only a small amount, which you prefer.
In Chutz La'aretz, like a traditional Jew.
When I was in the way. I had three Beit Din before I was Jewish. Usually you have two as a man, a woman only has one Beit Din. I had three. My first Beit Din was when I made the Brit. Although I'm not Jewish after the Brit, they asked me already before the Brit if I'm ready to accept the Torah. Oral Torah and traditions from Moshe, Har Sinai. And then I had a second Beit Din when my family went to the mikveh. But me and my brother, there was a problem with the Brit, so we had to see Rabbonim to check something. And then finally, the minute before my parents got married, I had my third Beit Din with the mikveh. Why I'm saying that. When I chose to be Jewish, I didn't choose something that is halfway. I didn't want to be ger just out of the lifestyle. That's what you're saying. To be Jewish without keeping commandments is something like a lifestyle. You are behaving Jewish, you look Jewish, but you're not keeping Torah mitzvot. It's a lifestyle. You can do that. And there are also people who do that today.
Are you not supposed to live after the commandments if you do a gibul?
I'm supposed to. But there are always people who are not saying the truth to their rabbonim. They ask if you want to do that or not. And I know such people. They're not bad people, but they like to be in the Jewish community. But they're not doing all the mitzvot. But that's not what I wanted to choose. For me, it wouldn't make sense to change my life. I had a good life. Why should I change my life to be Jewish? Okay, maybe for the lifestyle. I couldn't see that. So I made Giyur because I wanted to keep the mitzvot. It's hard, it's very hard, but I give my best, and I want it, otherwise I wouldn't have done it. There are people who have other considerations, but and sometimes for the good. Also I have in my family such people. Yeah, there is certainly a way to that what you're asking, but I wouldn't and shout it out to the world and say it out loud, because it's also not honest when you're going to a people, to a Am. I wasn't Jewish before, so why should I be dishonest to you, by the way, and say, yes, I want to keep the Torah, and then afterwards I'm not doing it. Because I don't have a right to be Jewish. Nobody can demand, I want to be Jewish, and you have to make me Jewish now. I had to earn it, I had to learn, I had to show that I'm serious, that I want to be part of Am Yisrael, and that's why I also got questions from the rabbis, from the Beit Din, if I want or not.
I heard a lot about bad treatments from sides of the Rabbanim, that they're not respectful, and that they're, I don't know, I heard once a story about a girl who wanted to make a giyur and told her story, and during this time the rabbi was answering a phone call and she was crying in front of him and telling his life story, and that kind of stuff. Does that really happen? And if yes, did it happen to you as well in some kind that you felt like, oh my God, they really reject me and they're not respectful and they don't appreciate my way of acting?
It's a very, very, very good point you're asking and raising. Does everybody understand what he's talking about?
Yes.
Yes, it did happen to me, not in the same way, in a different way, and usually it happens to every girl.
Usually happens
to every girl. You don't have to be shocked when you hear these things, even if somebody is telling you that and tells you how bad this rabbi was and this rabbi was. It probably wasn't something bad. Why? It has exactly to do with what I said before. It's a very, very hard job to be a rabbi and decide if somebody has the things to be Jewish or not. Very, very, very difficult. I wouldn't like to sit in this chair to decide that. I really won't. Because you have to understand that there, for example, the rabbi that we asked in Zurich gets every day 10 phone calls from people who wants to make giyur. Every day. Can you understand that? And this is not a rabbi who is getting a lot of phone calls. But he gets 10 every day. So I can tell you that the most people who are calling him are psychologically not healthy. They need to make therapy, they need to have some kind of treatment, they don't need to be Jewish. And as a rabbi, you have to understand that and you have to filter these people. Then there is a group of people who want to make you because of their boyfriend or of their girlfriend. But if they really would think it through, they would understand that they should better not make people because they're not ready for that kind of life. And there are all kind of sorts of reasons to make you, and some of the reasons are good and some of the reasons are not good. So what can the Rav do? If he's pleasant and nice to everybody, he has a huge problem. Because then he would have to make giyur to everybody. But he can only make giyur to the ones who are really want to make giyur, who are supposed to make giyur, because they know what they're doing and they're ready for that life. And it's very hard to make giyur, and it's very hard to change your lifestyle, have a Jewish life, and be ready for to learn your whole life to do something completely different from what he did until then. So a Rav who's in charge for such things, he has to make steps that people really serious are not bothered by something what you said. That I'm telling the Rav my whole life story and he's suddenly taking up the phone and he's not listening and whatever. Or he's not coming to the appointment that he invited me to New York. He tells me, yeah, call me next week, or call me next month, and every week he says the same thing. And he says, no, you have to learn another year. All kinds of things. Or they make a bit din and you're coming and say, make, we can't make Giyur now. This sounds very hard, and all the stories that you can hear about these things just sound very rude and very hard, but you don't have another way to filter out the people who are really serious and honest about their willpower, that they really want to make Giyur. So that's how the Rabbonim are doing it.
Can I ask what happened to you?
To me, it happened like things that we got delayed week by week from the Rav, that we could make another appointment for Beit Din. It was annoying. And it was so annoying that we searched another Rav. And then afterwards we found another Rav. We made gear with that Rav, without these problems. But it was meant to be like that. That was our way of showing that we're serious and that we want to make gear. It was not this Rav's fault who made us like a stumbling block. I know that he had probably no time, but that it was the right stumbling block for us to be more serious. He said, no, we want to make you. We're going to another half who has time. And I didn't felt, I knew something like that would come. I was a little bit prepared for that. So it didn't really hurt me very much. But if you're in a situation that was difficult, because to find another half who was willing to make you wasn't so easy. But
were you told this sometimes, or was this something you figured out that they were testing you?
We knew it. We knew it, and but when you're facing, it's not the same, even if you know it. Because you're not somebody who can tell the Rav, you make me now you. So, even if you know that there is a stumbling block will come at some point, you still have to deal with it. So it didn't make really a big difference. Maybe it made a difference because you knew that there will be a way out if you're serious. I think that maybe helped.
Was it ever a problem for your wife, your girl?
She's probably giving me even more honor than if I wouldn't be a girl. I think that's the right way how to behave to a girl, because for what I told you now, we're not talking about second class or something like that, but when you're a ger, Baruch Hashem, in today's world, not anymore so much, but usually when you're ger, you're poor, you don't have money, you're an outsider in the community, and so on. Today it's different. But not everybody's like Rabbi Akiva, who was in the end the top the generation. Usually meant that to give up everything financially and socially. It was also for me, but because today, even if you give a lot up, you still have the possibility to move wherever you want today and put yourself in the community you want and find new friends and work, Baruch Hashem. So it's not so much comparable. Tell me the question again, that I answered the question for you.
If she ever made you notice that you are a girl, or if there were some difficulties, like...
It was a problem.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Baruch Hashem, no, and that's probably also one of the reasons why I married her. I had dates where I encountered that problem, where people were thinking that because I'm a girl that there's a problem. And I don't think it's the right way to think about that. I can tell you something very interesting that you might not didn't learn. Did you all realize that in Shmoneh Esra Gerim are mentioned? Can somebody read it in Hebrew? Should I do it? Somebody knows enough of it to read it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. על הצדיקים, על החסידים, על זקנמך בית ישראל, ועל בתרצופיהם, על גרי הצדק, ועלינו יהיו מחמחת נעלינו. תן דחר טוב לכל הבוטחים בשמך ובמצחקים, ובמאים ובעולם, ולא נבשקי בך ודחנו, ברוך אותה השם, איתנו כך לצדיק.
You
On the righteous, on the devout, on the elders of your people, the family of Israel, on the remnant, of their scholars, of the righteous converts, and on ourselves, blah, 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 blah. You want to hear the rest?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that's good.
May your compassion...
That's good. This is written because when Yonah was in the sea with the sailors, when the sailors came back, they met Giyu. They were Gentiles. And because of them, in Shmoneh Esra, is this written. So it means something. It's... You can't just pass a girl. I'm not telling that because of me, I just want to give you the awareness that a girl usually has a harder life than the general Jew. Because he has to build a new family. I, for example, don't know fluent Hebrew. Although I can talk Hebrew today, I'm still not able to study in Hebrew. I will probably learn most of the words from my son. Because he knows already... No, he doesn't know more Hebrew than I can speak Hebrew, but... I have to find out where can he go to school. I can't teach him in Hebrew. I can't teach him Torah in Hebrew. I can teach him in my language, in Swiss German, or in English, or whatever. And this is a hardship, besides all other things that will remain the whole life. So, to be a ger means that even my sons and daughters, and probably also their sons and daughters, will know that and will have some kind of disadvantage. So that's why Ger Erim are specially mentioned also in Shmoneh Esra. And there is no such thing like looking down on a Ger or whatever. Opposite to a Ger, he should look up. Because he took upon himself something he should. There was no need to do it, but he did it. It doesn't mean that the Ger is something higher than you guys, or it's just you maybe know how to behave to Kohanim. Did you learn that? That you give to the Kohanim the Kiddush cup, that the Kohanim lead certain things. It's not the same to Gerim, but it's a little bit a drop more respect because of their situation. So it's a very important question that you posed. If my wife ever did such a thing, and no, she shouldn't, and she doesn't. And if you ever hear, for example, somebody in restating hear something like that, that the other side is behaving not nice, or questions, or ask such questions, I would say better leave it. Don't even recommend to continue that.
change your name?
Was that an important thing, or just something you felt that you wanted to do?
Or both. You have to change your name. Although, if you have already a Jewish name, not every Rav asks you to change the name. For example, my father was Daniel already, so he stood Daniel. But mostly also a girl feels the need of having another name. Because it's like a change of your identity. It's not daily business to suddenly be a Jew. My name was Fabian David. I had two names, so I switched my names. David Fabian, although I only use David. And you're also supposed to, from the Halacha, you're supposed to have a Jewish name.
Thank you very, very much for coming.
Thank you very much. If there are any more questions come up because of what I said, and you want to ask me directly, you can ask.
I have your favorite.
You can ask.
Yeah,
you can call me. You can also ask Rav Frankenthal. I'm very much in contact with him. He has also my email. If you want to send me an email, that's fine with me. Whatever you want to ask, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you very much.